This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, August the 31st. Joining us to talk about the formation of a new Lutheran church body, the North American Lutheran Church. That would make it the NALC. And there's a lot of alphabet soup out there on Lutheranism. You have the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, whose story is closely tied to the North American Lutheran Church. And then you have denominations like my own, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, LCMS, and others, WELS and ELS. What makes the North American Lutheran Church body different from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Pastor Mark Chavez is director of Lutheran Core. Pastor Chavez, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you.
Why do we need another Lutheran body in the U.S.?
The main reason is that both the ELCA and also the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, more of that alphabet soup, are both, as denominations, moving in directions that take them further and further away, not only from the Lutheran confessions, but from just the basic Christian faith, and especially the ELCA Churchwide Assembly's decisions a year ago in August in Minneapolis. And a number of congregations that had been a part of Lutheran Core's efforts to try and help the ELCA remain faithful to its own confession of faith asked us last fall to consider the formation of a new Lutheran church body that would be a place for them so that they wouldn't have to follow the ELCA, move further and further away from the Christian faith.
So all said, I'm sure this is a little bit of a moving target, but how many congregations have decided upon leaving the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to be part of the formation of the North American Lutheran Church?
Well, prior to its formation last Friday, 18 congregations had already joined a not yet existing denomination. And then we know of a couple hundred congregations that have informed us that they're considering working through the process to leave the ELCA and consider joining the North American Lutheran Church.
Theologically, what distinguishes the NALC from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and in what ways are they similar, still similar to one another?
Well, if you compare our confessions of faith, they're almost identical, but the big difference, of course, is when we say we confess that faith as articulated in those words, we actually mean it and don't deny the Christian faith in fundamental ways. For example, the ELCA says that the inspired Word of God, the canonical Scriptures, the Old and New Testaments, are the authoritative source and norm for its proclamation, faith, and life. But obviously, the Bible has just been reduced to one of many authorities and not even the authoritative norm for the ELCA, especially when it comes to matters of morality and ethics. So the big difference is the NALC and Lutheran Core intend as much as humanly possible as sinners and sinful organizations to submit to the authority of God's Word over all matters of faith and life.
Has there been any reaction, any word from ELCA presiding Bishop Mark Hansen on the formation of the North American Lutheran Church?
Not that I've seen since the church body was formed. He did issue a pastoral letter a couple days prior, regretting that these divisions were taking place, but I haven't seen anything since then.
Okay, let's deal with a couple particular issues, just so we understand kind of where the lay of the land there. The main breaking point I take, and I think I'm being fair here, for those congregations that left the ELCA was last summer when the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America voted, in essence, to put its imprimatur on homosexual behavior in many and various ways. I take it, though, that the North American Lutheran Church, this new church body forming out of that terrible situation, still does, for instance, have female pastors.
Correct.
And is there any connection recognized or seen or concerned concerning these congregations and pastors between the ordination of women and what eventually became the ordination of homosexuals in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Well, I think if as some do in the ELCA, justify the ordination of women on some other basis other than the authority of Scripture, then obviously, yes, you've fallen into the trap of reducing the Bible to just one of many authorities. But within Lutheran core and the North American Lutheran Church, we would argue that you can, on the basis of Scripture and on that basis alone, defend the ordination of women. So the two issues aren't necessarily connected.
Is that among the reasons why congregations forming the North American Lutheran Church did not approach the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Yes, I would say that was actually one of the main reasons why a number of congregations leaving the ELCA are not joining the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or Wisconsin or any of the others.
How is this going to be comprised? The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America was kind of semi-episcopal in its the way it ran things, and the central bureaucracy had a tremendous amount of power. How is the NALC going to be different, if any?
In terms of who makes the decisions, you're right. The ELCA, unfortunately, gives unchecked power and authority to a churchwide assembly, which meets every 2 years for 1 week, and then also in between, essentially to the church council, 37 people. In the North American Lutheran Church, the member congregations will have the final decision on any important decision. So, for example, amendments to the Constitution or any major decisions will need to be taken back to the congregations and ratified, in most cases, by a supermajority of the congregations, or in some cases, if they're minor bylaw changes, by at least a majority of the congregations. So that's one important difference. The other is in terms of kind of the hierarchy of the church. Unfortunately, the ELCA, the office of bishop, has become mostly an administrative office. And we intend for the single bishop in the North American Lutheran Church to be an office defined by especially Article 28 of the Augsburg Confession. So we want the bishop of the North American Lutheran Church to be a pastoral and theological leader and not an administrative bureaucrat.
Any word on who will serve as bishop?
Well, we elected last Friday for a provisional one-year term, and one-year term only. He's made it very clear he's only going to serve this first year to get the North American Lutheran Church started. But it's the Reverend Paul Spring, the former bishop of the Northwestern Pennsylvania Synod, and up until Friday had been serving as the chair of the Lutheran Core Steering Committee. But there will be an election in 2011 of a member pastor of the North American Lutheran Church who will then take over that office and serve a regular term.
What about the properties of congregations that left the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Is that a dilemma more or less solved with the formation of the North American Lutheran Church?
I don't know that the formation of the NALC necessarily solved that. I mean, as long as you leave the ELCA for another Lutheran church body, in almost all cases you can take your property and your assets with you. And so, of course, the North American Lutheran Church just becomes one other option here in North America for congregations.
What about ecumenical relations that were established while these congregations were members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, with the Reformed Church, the Episcopal Church USA, the Presbyterian Church USA? What becomes of those relations with the congregations now in the North American Lutheran Church?
Well, those full communion agreements are strictly between the ELCA and those church bodies, so they won't be a part of the North American Lutheran Church. It is the intention of the North American Lutheran Church to apply for membership in the Lutheran World Federation and also have some discussions with the International Lutheran Council, which Missouri Synod belongs to. And it's also the intention of the North American Lutheran Church to engage in ecumenical relations with any Orthodox Christian body in North America. So that would include the Roman Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church and and other, you know, the new Anglican Church in North America and evangelical churches.
Other than the ordination of openly gay pastors, what were some of the other issues that led to the formation of the NALC?
Well, again, when a church body like the ELCA discards the authority of God's Word, then anything goes, and a good example of that was the recent rite of reception that was held in the Sierra Pacific Synod in Northern California, where three ELCA bishops, active bishops, participated in leading in that worship service, and God is given other names other than the name revealed in the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they even included in print, I think, five or six different versions of what they called the Jesus Prayer, one of which, of course, would be the Lord's Prayer and the wording that's come down to us from the Bible and from the tradition of the church. But then four or five other versions that essentially were pagan prayers to all kinds of goddesses and made-up Christ. So it's just really, really tragic and unfortunate, but unfortunately this is what's going to be happening more and more in the ELCA.
Pastor Mark Chavez is director of Lutheran Core. Pastor Chavez, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, Todd. It's always good to be with you.
Well, speaking for myself, you have to say a step in the right direction, but not a big enough step. I mean, that's where I would put it, a good beginning, stepping away from the obvious and blatant errors that are being perpetuated and now institutionalized by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, so sad to observe, and a step in the right direction, although there are still some of those other things that hopefully, with an adherence to Scripture as one's only authority and the Lutheran confessions as the right expression of that, the North American Lutheran Church might even divest itself of female pastors in the future. We can hope that the steps continue. We'll be right back with audio open lines on Glenn Beck's Washington Rally.
Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now?
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
You'll find the reformer Martin Luther's thoughts on Jesus' high priestly prayer and the passion and resurrection according to John in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Luther's Works, Volume 69 by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Luther's Works, Volume 69, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion advocates are targeting Africa.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The countries of Africa have some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the world. Unfortunately, some groups are determined to see that change. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a New York-based law group, recently launched a campaign to liberalize Africa's abortion laws, compiling a survey of the pro-life laws of Africa and providing strategies for challenging those laws. The International Planned Parenthood Federation is also targeting Africa and recently held an international conference in Ethiopia where leaders mapped out strategies for expanding access to abortion to African women.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.